You're listening to The Secret Stage, a Scarlet Rhapsody podcast. Jared here. Welcome to The Secret Stage. We are back with the full team here to talk about the video games and stuff. Miguel, how you doing?
Good. It's been a nice week off I had.
Awesome. Ramses, how you doing? Zombie Ramses is ready to rock. I think we're all feeling pretty good today after a really long live stream last night. It's kind of nice to... Actually, I kind of wish I was still back in bed, but still.
Yeah.
feeling good enough to do a podcast.
Yeah, we're good. So, I just want to recap to the people that from watched our last stream. I finally 100% of the game off camera, so if you missed it, I'm sorry I didn't record it for you guys, but it's okay. I will go and play the ending to spoil it, so spoiler alert.
That's why I'm not watching.
Oh, but you don't want to know the boss attack techniques?
Oh, when I get to the boss, I'll just call you and be like, Miguel, last boss is kicking my butt. Save me.
So anyways, to go on with what you have been playing so that we're not getting off track as I play, if anyone has not noticed in the last month what I've been playing, shame on you.
Really?
Shame on you for not noticing what I've been playing. But Castle in the Darkness is the top game I've been playing this week. We're taking a break from Zelda live streaming right now because after marathoning for a month straight in January, it burned me out just a little bit.
It happens.
And I love Zelda, yeah.
We should tag through some of the Zelda games. Like Ramsey's doing one of the handheld ones or something. Ramsey's rocks Minish Cap.
You know what? I really want to do that right about now, as a matter of fact.
We'll talk about it off air, but just random thing that occurred to me.
But anyways, and to keep going on with games I've played, I've been playing a lot of other indie games as well, not just Castle in the Darkness. I've played a free-to-play indie game on Steam called You Have to Win This Game.
Huh.
It's free on Steam. Pick it up. It's a, as it's described, it's a throwback to old PC games, as it were. So, yeah, if you got nothing to do and find out what you want and what you can play, play that. It's free. You guys got nothing to worry about. So,
all right.
It's free. Then I've played a couple other games too as well. I've played a beat 'em up game called Banzai Pecan that's a friend of my wife actually developed, so playing it to review it, I guess.
Yeah.
And aside from that, I've been playing more Destiny with the DLC pack that was released a few months ago.
Yeah, my friend.
I have yet to do the mission to do that deals with the DLC, so...
Just been grinding for gear?
Yeah, because...
Why not?
Because those
why
missions...
Not, exactly.
Well, that and those missions are fairly tough, as I understand it.
Yes, they are. And aside from that, I'm always in the hunt for indie games, so if we have any indie developers listening, watching...
We
gladly support the indie scene, so...
Yeah.
Contact us, Jared. Contact Jared, myself, Ramses. Whatever. If you want to have a basic conversation to us, well, I'll give it off at the end of the show. But other than that, yeah, that's all that I've been playing so far.
All right. Well, I'll go next because my list is fairly short. I've been really busy with work in real life, so unfortunately, My gaming has been more quality over quantity. So, been playing some more Oracle of Seasons on my DS. I've actually been liking this game, other than it still frustrates the hell to me that all these dumb mini games that kind of block your progress until you get them right. I really hate that about both of the Oracle games. It is the biggest flaw of those. Oh, you want to go to the next dungeon? Well, first you got to get an item. Okay, that's not too bad. To get that item, you have to do this real pain in the butt mini game. Thanks, dicks. So, not hugely keen on that, but still an enjoyable Zelda adventure. So that makes up for it. Been playing a lot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle. Slowly but surely unlocking all the alternate costumes and all the alternate colors. God, does campaign mode take forever. In fact, you could say it's a campaign in the butt. I'm so witty, I should write for Kotaku.
And we broke right again.
Okay. Happy medicine for that pain.
But I've been having But I have been having fun going through and slowly unlocking everything. Really liking that game. It's really fun. And then my last thing, well, I played a little bit of Castle in the Darkness because well, Miguel got it for me and I wanted to check it out, and God, is that game hard. And then my final game I played was kind of a surprise. I stumbled across it. It is a James Bond game from 1997 for the Game Boy. It is like this little Zelda-ish game, I guess, for lack of a better word, better comparison.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you go around, and it actually has a really good combat system in it where you can actually block. So in the first section in China, it's a lot of martial arts, you know, fighting. You got to fight against people who are doing all these moves, and you basically can punch and block. And so you actually have to strategically, well, actually give you enough med packs, you don't have to worry about blocking, but I would highly recommend blocking and countering, you know, the way you would do a proper fist fight. And it's actually a lot of fun. The first boss kind of killed me because blocking don't do crap against that boss. You just have to use a med pack and then just punch away. But I actually really enjoyed it. And the second mission is all about rescuing 008. So it's its own original story. It has nothing to do with any of the movies. But came out, you know, probably around the same time that the GoldenEye game came out for the N64. And I don't remember hearing about this game. I don't know if it was just a Europe-only release or if it's just one of those went way under the radar. But it's really good. And it's better than just about any of the games released by EA when EA had the license. It blows me away that this Game Boy game, I'm a James Bond fan, I owned a Game Boy, I don't know how I never heard of this game or never found a copy of it. But if you can find the Game Boy James Bond 007 game from 1997, it's not licensed to any movie, grab that, it is awesome. And it's like Zelda but Bond, and it's a great, two great tastes that taste great together. On to you, Ramses.
Well, as you can obviously hear from the groins I had, I actually got my teeth pulled not too long ago. I had some wisdom teeth surgery done.
Ugh, that's
one
rough.
One time when they jam something, they jam a huge fucking thing down your mouth just to pry something out of your mouth.
Yeah, I had wisdom teeth surgery, gosh, 10 years ago, I'd say. That was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, right, so what ended up happening was, well, a lot of things happened between Thursday and today, which was when that happened. Mm-hmm. So, what ended up happening was I played a lot of games. For some odd reason, when I right as I got out of the dentist's office, I had this huge conniption fit to start playing Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't know why you're making it sound like it's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing when I play it for like, 18 hours straight.
Yeah, but I have a friend who does that too. Not for Shin Megami Tensei 4, but just in general, we'll game for like 18 hours straight because he's insane, like long attention span person.
Well, things too. It's one of those things where it's like I should be resting up. I should be doing different things. But no, here I am. I'm goddamn playing. I'm Mongoloid playing. Shin Megami Tensei 4. Great game, though, but I won't deny that. I love the game, but the problem is it's just one of those things where I'm like, goddamn Mongoloid for like playing this game for almost 18 hours, and I should be like, you know, I should have rested.
Well, here's the thing that I put into gaming, because this is what always, my parents always got in my case about this. When I'd get sick, like with the cold or something, if I got to the point where I couldn't sleep, I'd just game until I start to feel tired and then go back to sleep. And my parents always get in my case saying, like, you're not going to get healthy if you're gaming. But I'm like, but if I'm doing something low intensity like an RPG, it's not that big a deal because I'm just, you know, what, wandering around level grinding. It requires the minimalist of brain efforts and boom, you know, you do what you do. And I kind of feel, I mean, granted, Shin Megami Tensei games tend to be a bit more difficult than, say, some of the Super Nintendo RPGs I was playing back in, you know, when I'm making the reference to my parents having concerns about me gaming while sick. But, you know, it's still low-intensity level grinding, not too brain or body-consuming to do. I don't see a problem with it. Now, if you're playing Call of Duty or something where you're getting your heart rate up and you're going for all your twitch reflexes, I'd be like, not the best way to recover. I don't think, like, putting yourself into an anxiety state is going to help you recover faster. But if you're just, you know, zoning out for 18 hours just level grinding, who cares?
Well, I don't feel that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, I played even more Monster Hunter. I think now I'm clocking in at, like, 39, 40 hours. So that's a life eater. I played some Left 4 Dead 2 with the Shinjuku Station guys on Friday. Like, I was starting to feel a little bit better. I started playing some Left 4 Dead 2, and that was fun. That was really fun, as a matter of fact.
I need to find some game where I can co-op with you and your friends, because it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun doing your co-op groups.
But you know, it was one of the spur of the moment things, because what ended up happening was because one of the guys that we usually, that does the podcasting, his name is Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He had issues like streaming, and so it's like, you guys have to let your own devices, and I'm like, okay. And then one of the guys like, hey, does anyone play Left 4 Dead 2? I'm like, yep, here. Like, I'm good enough. Let's take some painkillers. Okay, we're ready. Let's go.
Yeah, because I mean, it was, I don't know, a month ago or something, or maybe 2 months ago, where you and your buddies were doing Borderlands, and I'm like, oh man, I'd love to co-op with you guys in Borderlands. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That was like 5 months ago.
Oh, I am really bad at keeping track of stuff.
But I'm willing to go back to that game if you get it. If anybody gets it, they want to join up and want to do something, just hit me up on Twitter, L Ramses, or SR_secret stage. And you say, hey, let's pick a day, and I'll gladly pick a day with you guys, and we'll do it.
Well, the issue with me is that I'm been getting more games from my PS3, so I need people who can team up via PS3 instead of teaming up via PC, since I'm running off a laptop, which can be hit and miss with my connection and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, pick up Destiny. We'll play together. I'll help you guys level up.
That's not a bad idea, actually. No, but let me think about it.
Yeah, it's the game is much more fun when you play with somebody than just, you know.
Yeah.
Finding random people to play with that either drop because you know you're not being as serious or yeah.
That's fine. Well, I'll think about it. Cause you're trying to slowly convince me as to into this. You're slowly guiding my hips into this.
The game is like $20, I'd buy each of you a copy, but since it isn't, yeah.
Well, that's why I'm waiting for it to get to $20 so I can buy it.
Yeah, it's probably not going to drop to $20 anytime soon.
It's too popular to do that.
Yeah, true. But like I said, like we'll see what happens. We'll think about it. But other than that, I picked up also two other amiibos. I picked up Yoshi, and I picked up Kirby.
Yoshi, I want Kirby.
What's up?
I want Kirby.
Kirby is adorable. I don't know if you saw the picture I posted.
With the top hat and everything.
Yeah, because the top hat from the petite Sailor Moon little statuettes.
Oh,
fits perfectly
on. You added the top hat.
Yeah, so he just sold Tatino Max's top hat. I'm thinking about buying one of the bootleg ones.
By the way, now I want to see an animation thing of Kirby eating Tuxedo Mask and gaining his powers.
No, that's what I'm saying. The being to actually buy a Tuxedo Mask, like bootleg,
uh-huh,
and just disassembling it, giving the mask, giving it a top hat, and then like laying the rose on it.
Yeah.
And just selling it and just pawn that off on eBay.
Yeah.
Get like $5,000 for it.
That's the thing of Kirby, is that if they wanted to sell Kirby amiibos of him having all the various powers, they totally could. Because I would love a Kirby Link amiibo.
That's the thing. And, you know, and here's a funny thing about, like, for example, they've actually reduced some prices on a lot of the amiibos recently.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, they reduced the price on...
$10.
Yeah, that's a permanent price drop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Peach, Donkey Kong, and Yoshi got a permanent price drop to $10.
Man, I'm just going to have to just order these online and just say screw it.
So it's like I picked up Yoshi because of that. And I think like next week when I get my paycheck, I'm gonna pick up Donkey Kong. And hope to God I find Ike. That is like my holy grail right now.
Good luck.
Or at least Mega Man or Sonic, but I doubt it. I doubt it whatsoever. I'm just gonna cry.
Yeah, we picked up a couple amiibos. We picked up Miguel had pre-ordered Mega Man, so we got Mega Man, and then. We were talking with the GameStop employees. We're like, oh, yeah, we collect the Zelda ones and we still need to go find Sheik. Well, we came home and later on they called. They're like, oh, hey, we have a shipment of Sheik ones. Do you want us to hang on to one for you? I'm like, okay. So I picked up Sheik yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you guys have the whole Zelda collection then? Or are you missing anyone?
Ganondorf.
You just need Ganondorf when he comes out.
Okay.
Right now we have Link, Zelda, Sheik, and Toon Link.
Nice.
And then Mega Man.
Yeah, we have all the Zelda ones, so...
Makes Hyrule Warriors that much more awesome.
All the Zelda ones currently released, I should say, because since we need Ganondorf to be released.
And eventually they'll release Tingle.
Well, they might release Tingle if they make... They might release Tingle if they release them in, like, a...
They'll probably
do
like that
Zelda, like a Zelda wave or something like that. Maybe by the next Zelda game, maybe.
They will make a Zelda wave. I'm pretty sure of it. Cause
especially with the Zelda game coming out, and especially with
Mario Party 10 come out, making a Super Mario set.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, I wouldn't be surprised if with each time they release a big name title, they'll do a wave. I mean, with when the new Star Fox they've been talking about comes out, I'm sure we'll get a new Fox, a Falco, a Slippy, a Pepper, and a
Wolf.
Wolf. Thank you.
Wolf, Slippy, with Crystal.
No Crystal. Nope. She doesn't exist. She is a figment of our imaginations from a horrible fever dream we had back in the GameCube era.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, I just remembered there's another game we picked up for iOS.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The company Axe Systems came out with a new BlazBlue game. But it's not a fighting game.
Oh.
It's a rhythm game, a music game for your phone.
What?
It's called Eat Beat Dead Spike Song, and it's available in English. It's basically a very simple rhythm game where you have Dead Spike run his weapon, because the whole story is Ragna keeps getting beaten. So Dead Spike feels bad for him. So he thinks, maybe if I eat more, I will get stronger. So the whole rhythm game is him in the rhythm of BlazBlue songs, eating stuff.
Pretty much, in short, it's the Tecmo Drum Master for your iOS.
Yep, pretty much. And it's all BlazBlue songs.
Well, the BlazBlue music is amazing.
And it's free.
That's the best part.
I mean, it's got a bunch of songs. You can download a couple more for free, and then there's, like, free songs you have to pay for. But the game itself and a lot of the songs are free.
Okay.
And it's a cute game, and it's cute, and it's very simple. It's, like, the rhythm is you doing your... It's two buttons. It's the left button and the right button. And that's to do the rhythm.
Okay. That seems very simple versus... One of the ones where you got to hit a bunch of different things on the screen, or
like
you got
live.
Yeah, I can't do those. I am really strange because everyone always gets in my case. Jared, you're an award-winning musician. I'm like, yes, I am. Jared, why do you suck at rhythm games? Because it's not notes. I can read sheet music. I can't follow 100 different little arrows falling down the screen. And that's why I suck at DDR. Although I have gotten better scores than some of my friends at DDR, but I'll never be able to play like extreme mode because I can't mentally keep up. My brain just stops.
I've seen some of those people are crazy watching them play.
Yeah. I can play normal mode DDR and do decently.
You'll see them like hanging onto the bar and they'll be like da 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 with their feet. It's like, my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I also suck at Guitar Hero. But whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you guys hear that they're making a new Guitar Hero game, I think?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are trying to do that. Which I'm just not a huge surprise. They've not had a new guitar, rock band, etc. hero in a couple of years now, so I think it's about time for them to kind of bring it back, and I think people would be interested again. We just got too overwhelmed with way too many of those games coming out at once.
Yeah, then Rock Band coming out.
Yeah.
So.
Anyhow, Ramsey, we totally derailed your list of what you've been playing, so I apologize.
Well, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter.
I already said Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter, Shin Megami Tensei. Oh. What else you got on your list? You said you had quite a bit this week.
I think that's about it. I'm trying to remember. Well, a little bit more Ace Combat. A little bit more Ace Combat. She's been really good. I'm really enjoying it a lot.
I want Legacy Plus so much.
Yeah, Legacy Plus is really good, especially with the Amiibo support. So good. So much fun. And, you know, a little bit more Smash Bros.
Amiibo support?
Ace Combat, Legacy Plus.
Really?
Huh. Yep.
Yeah.
So you can have your.
Namco got away with that.
Well, they've been working with Nintendo for a while now. They're buddy buddy.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the one of the first outside uses for Pac-Man is going to be for that game.
Well, yeah, because they own the rights to Pac-Man, so.
Yeah.
So that's right. They're going to get a make a Pac-Man amiibo.
Yeah.
Oh, I still want that.
So bad. He's so awesome. I love Pac-Man.
If we got Sonic, we're going to get Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That's true, and there's a Mega Man, so.
Yeah, Nintendo's smart, and I'm sure every company
Nintendo
who has been...
Nintendo likes our money.
Yeah, well, one, yeah, Nintendo likes our money. I think any company that has one of their mascot characters as an amiibo will likely have games that will use amiibo support, with the exception of probably Sega, since they're getting out of the console market.
Oh, yeah.
They're just doing PC and mobile. I mean, maybe they'll make some new 3DS games, but I doubt it. So,
Sonic Boom 2?
Yeah, really.
No, literally, there's a Sonic Boom 2 coming out.
Oh.
What?
I thought you were just being sarcastic.
Yeah, well, think about it. The first game is Sonic Boom, Rise of whatever, then the other one is Sonic Boom,
it's the Shattered
something.
Crystal.
So that's technically Sonic Boom 2.
Yeah.
So we need Sonic Boom 3.
So they pretty much, Sega went ahead and jumped the gun and made a sequel to Sonic Boom, thinking that Sonic Boom, the first one, was going to be a huge success.
Yep.
Yeah. And everyone's like, "Hey, Sega, why are you?"
But the cartoon show is amazing, though. I'm not gonna trounce on the cartoon show.
Yeah.
Cartoon show, like that's kind of like I said, that's kind of show I expect me. Like I want to wake up every morning with a box of with a bowl of Captain Crunch and watch that shit.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I agree.
Other than that, that's about it, really.
Alrighty.
Oh yeah. Pokemon Shuffle. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Shuffle lately. And a lot of people have been, like, you know, poking on the fact that, you know, oh my god, free-to-play this and that. It's actually really good. Like, I'm not really, like, the free-to-play aspect is actually kind of downplayed in some aspects, so it doesn't, like, feel like you're, like, it just doesn't feel like you're, it doesn't feel like you're being cheated out of anything.
Okay. That was what I was going to say, is, like, how bad is the free-to-play stylizing of it? Because if it's just a fun, you know, Pokemon Troze-esque game, I might just download it as a time kill while we're just shooting the crap during our Saturday stream or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it should be seen. It should be seen as like a serious game. Though granted, I would like to see a full on game without all the restrictions, but that's something later.
Yeah, I'll give it a check out. We'll talk about it next week.
That is definitely it.
Okay, Miguel, you want to do your indie game of the week? If anyone has
month.
My god, yeah, to see folks, don't stay up to like 3 a.m. and then you know, do a podcast and, you know, 12 hours later.
Yeah. But yeah, well, I would like to give this top honors that I created over since the start of our live streams. Top honors that I created. Anyways, the top honor for this month goes to... Can anyone take a guess which game it is? I'll give you guys a guess. Which one is it?
Oh, okay, I got this.
Pac-Man EX.
Dead or Alive Extreme Bowling.
Yes.
Somebody make a Dead or Alive Extreme Bowling, like,
okay, my son
game.
Does not approve of Dead or Alive Extreme Bowling. So
it'd be awesome. Who doesn't want to bowl in a swimsuit?
That will not be the indie game of the month.
Oh.
The indie game of the month is Castle in the Darkness.
Yes.
They see, look, he does a scream of joy. He agrees with that choice.
Yeah, right here, even though it's March, technically. Like, you did announce it on the live stream, so it's not like...
I did announce it on the live stream yesterday, so technically I announced it back in in February.
Yeah. And by the way, if February had a normal amount of days, it would still be February.
Yes.
February and its stupid 28 days. Can't even get a whole month together. And I figured we could all use this as a point of kind of throwing in our two cents. I think we all kind of know how you feel about this, Mr. 100%ing the game.
Oh, I'm not even 100% done with it yet.
Oh, really?
I have 100% collected the items, but I'm getting all the secret stuff now.
Oh.
There's secret stuff I wanted to get as well.
So yes, clearly Miguel really, really likes it. Ramses, what are your general thoughts on Castle in the Darkness? So we can kind of get a well-rounded opinion here.
This is the kind of game that I like, that I kind of like and dislike at the same time. Problem with the game, the things I like with the game is that it's the kind of game where it's like it doesn't penalize you for death. It doesn't like it doesn't feel kind of it doesn't feel like death is like that much of a penalty. Like you can die as many times as you want. It feels like games like Super Meat Boy and stuff like that. It mixed in with games like Zelda and like other games I know is like I said, Blaster Master and other kinds of games like that. But the problem with the game is that deaths happen so frequently, and when you just want to progress forward into the game, and when you know sometimes the game will not prevent you because of how the structure is, or just because you suck. You just, like, sometimes you just want to rage quit and stop playing altogether sometimes.
See, I'm kind of... Continue.
And that's sort of my general thoughts on the game.
For me, this is not the normal type of game I would play. While I do like the... I love the aesthetic of this game, and I love the references. The difficulty is a bit much for my taste. I like a hard game, but I like a hard game that feels like I could... do something to progress. You know, if I'm having difficulty, it's because, oh, you didn't buy this item, or oh, you know, if you found this one treasure, you'd do better. It feels one of those things where it's just a hard game due to level design, due to how many hits the enemies take, how much damage the bosses can do, etc., etc. I will say this, that the problem I have with this game is it feels like no matter how much I slug through it, it always feels like the difficulty never goes down. I never feel like I'm getting strong enough to handle what's happening in the game. It feels like I'm just struggling to survive. And while some people might want to be the guy, I don't want to be the guy. I like a game that helps me relax, because that's why I game, is to relax, not to get super tense about stuff. While there are some games I play that do get me all tensed up, you know, certain fighters and... I'm a huge fan of these combat games, and some of the dogfighting in that can get you really riled up. For the most part, I do prefer, you know, a more relaxing experience. The game does not provide said relaxing experience. That being said, no matter how frustrating this game is, Ramses is right. There's no real penalty for death. In fact, as your deaths add up, you unlock stuff in the secrets menu. So, kind of, death is not only expected, almost to an extent encouraged, for you to get the trial and error of the game down. And while the game is frustrating, I kind of want to progress in it just to see the next reference, just to prove that, hey, I can get further than this. Yes, I could solve this puzzle. Yes, I could fight past these enemies and what have you. So I will say this, if you're looking for a relaxing, fun throwback game, this is not your answer. If you're looking for a hard challenge that, you know, you can play for 30 minutes, progress a little bit, take a break, come back to it another 30 minutes, because that's how I play it, it's not bad for a in small pieces game. So, you know, I'm not as thumbs up as Miguel is, but I'm not giving it a thumbs down either. It's too good of a game to give a negative rating. It's just, God, it's just frustrating as hell, and it doesn't feel super rewarding for the frustration. But I kind of want to see what's next. I kind of want to progress in the game, so it's maybe eventually over like the course of this year, I will eventually beat this.
But yeah. Well, I'm just gonna tell you that. Yeah, everyone knows my feelings on this game. I love it. I enjoy it. It's really a callback to a lot of old games that makes a lot of reference to it. You know, the stuff that really sticks out was, you know, Castlevania.
Oh yeah, freaking!
You know, they have the multiple endings where you have to get a certain item, and you have to have it, quote unquote, equipped to unlock the true ending, which is pretty much what I did, getting 100% of the game. And also how it was, you know, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, where you had to wear the glasses to see the true evil and that stuff, and then you have to defeat that instead of Richter.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not a bad choice for the indie game of the month, honestly. I'm surprised. I kind of want to go back to it. I remember getting about after my first play, I was like, ah, forget this. And then like a couple hours later, I was like, I'll give it another try. And then I'll get to forget this. It's like that. It's like it gets just frustrating enough for you to want to take a break, but not frustrating enough for you to rage quit completely. So
yeah.
Shall we move on to the
news? Sometimes I know there are plenty of times where there were puzzles and Junkman platforming stuff where it's like, where it just had that one misstep and you're like, oh geez, you're like, why did I jump? I should have just kept running, that kind of deal, you know?
Yeah. Well, even little things like how you bounce off those breaking platforms, like that is a mechanic that every time I restart the game, I forget about. So I land on the breaking platform and I try to jump off of it and I just fall to spikes and I go, oh, right, I hold the jump button, so I bounce off the breaking platform. And that's just a mechanic that you just got to remember when you play. But yeah, good choice, honestly. Like, despite my frustrations and my angst over some of the parts of this game, yeah, not something I would have jumped on myself because of the difficulty, but I'm glad you got me to play it.
Well, I'm glad you guys can play it.
Hold on, sword.
What's the matter, Ramses?
Help me. I need water. Anyway. Okay. No, but I was gonna preface this by saying, you know, I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all at finding that at this game, Manel. A lot of people recently have been picking up this game a lot. I've been seeing like Game Grumps pick it up, and I don't know who else started picking it up recently. That was kind of big, so it's like, you know, it's like they found something that we saw in the game as well. So it's like, it's not necessarily a bad.
Here's the thing, I want to say this on record right now to every one of the big gaming companies out there before you notice it. Secret Stage was the first people to notice this game.
Yes. We're the senpai that noticed you first.
Even though there probably might have been other people looking at it, I think I want to be thinking that we're the first ones to actually get going as soon as it like was available on Steam and started to push it, you know?
Yep.
We were pimping it. You tell him, kid.
All right. Well, I think it's time for us to get onto the news. And yeah, that's right, kiddo. And the first story I kind of want to get onto is something, Miguel, you and I were talking about this beforehand, and brace yourselves, everyone. Xbox announces some surprises at E3. And get this, Sony is going to be at E3. And I'm blown away by this. I expected both of them to boycott.
Also, I wanted to say this.
Yeah.
Ubisoft and EA, as well as Activision, are having big pressers.
Are you kidding me? They normally skip E3 completely. They're like, we don't believe in this industry event.
You know who is going to be at E3?
Apparently there is this year.
You know who is it?
Who?
THQ.
Oh, poor THQ. But they need to announce yet another really bad WWE game. How will they do that if at a press conference?
That's okay. 2K Sports will do it for them.
Who's never there at E3 to start with? There's a shock if they actually do come to E3. Anyways.
Yes, yes. Way too much BS, like, E3 wonderings. It's freaking March, people. Shut up.
I agree.
You know when you can worry about E3? May 28th. I've arbitrarily chosen May 28th as the day you can start speculating. Until May 28th, shut up.
When is E3?
It's like June 3rd or something, isn't it?
E3 2000. Keep going.
Okay. Well, moving on to the news, just for something a little more on the happy side, a modder, or maybe a team of modders, I'm not quite sure, has...
Okay, June 16th to 18th, yeah, I'll give you that date then.
Okay, yes, thank you, June 16th to 18th. So, yes, May 28th, you can start speculating, people. Until then, shut up.
Yeah.
Couple points of, like, happy news. A modder has added in the co-op mode to the PC version of Resident Evil Revelations 2. The co-op mode was removed by Capcom for reasons I couldn't quite find. I guess they were just rushing it out. A modder has created a co-op mode, so now PC people can also play co-op on RE2.
Also, I just want to say, I thought RE2 was a full game, not an episodic game.
Yeah, apparently it's episodic as well, so...
It's episodic, but it's also they're going to release a full-on version. That's why the what was the mode that they said that they got taken out?
Co-op.
The co-op mode is, I think that's exclusive for the full game.
Yeah, and a modder said, to hell with that.
Yeah.
Thank you, modders. Also on the happy news, and this is semi of a rejection on my part, I guess... Underworld Ascendant, which is the spiritual successor to Ultimate Underworld, has reached its Kickstarter goal of 600,000. Now, I said that this was too niche to really warrant a huge amount of people being into it. Apparently, I was wrong. There's at least enough people to reach the Kickstarter goal. So, bravo, Team Underworld. Kind of cool seeing you guys get your goal. I was never a huge... I respected the game for what it was, but it was just... I was playing a lot of different PC RPGs at the time, and that one just kind of slipped through my fingers. But when I look back at it, it's not a game franchise I won't even attempt, because holy crap is each floor of the dungeon, and there's like 10 floors of the dungeon, all of which are as large as most games. So the old games are a time suck, and you need to have your notes as to where the various restore points are, where the various shops are. If you don't have a fully sketched out map, yeah, you're doomed in playing those games. So I hope that this will be a really worthy successor to that, and maybe I'll check it out when it comes out, but I did not realize that there was enough popularity to warrant that.
Yep, there was.
Don't underestimate the fans of a franchise, especially when it's like... I wouldn't say that Ultimate has its like extreme hardcore, but I believe that there's a hardcore contingent that really loves that series.
The Underworld series, I'm not as, like I said, I skipped that in my PC RPG playing. I love the original Ultima series. 1 through 7 are really great games. And hell, I've even played 8. I never played 9 because I didn't have the PC requirements for it at the time, and then I could never find a copy. And I've since learned that 9 is a terrible game, so I've made a good choice. And bugged to hell, apparently, too. So even if you did have the PC requirements, the game would crash all the time. But I love a lot of the early Ultima games. I'd love to see like a Schmancy remake or a re-release. Be awesome. But yeah, the franchise's story falls apart when Richard Garriott decided, when EA bought Ultima, bought Origin Systems and forced them to get the Ultima games out at a faster rate, which then caused them to not put as much effort. I don't even blame Richard Garriott for that, other than, you know, selling his company to EA. Money hungry.
I was gonna say, like, when the news broke, it's like, where's Lord British?
Well, he's not working on this game. He's still working on Shroud of the Avatar. This is done by other people from Origin Systems who had worked on the Underworld games.
Still, can I still talk to Lord British in this game?
Maybe. Richard might allow them to shove him in the game, even though technically he's from the Ultimaverse, and this is its own. I don't think they can use the word Ultima because I think that's owned by EA. That's why it's Shroud of the Avatar and Underworld Ascendant. But either way, you know, here's to show you like how hardcore the Origin Systems fans are. Chris Roberts' game succeeded. Ultima Ascendant succeeded. Shroud of the Avatar succeeded. You know, it's like three games that came out of Origin Systems, former employees, all succeeded because we love, you know, these franchises. We love Wing Commander. We love Ultima. These things were just part of our childhood and part of our teenagehood. And it was so sad to see Origin Systems close. And it was sad to see EA basically ruin these franchises. And I could still go back and play like Wing Commander 3 and Wing Commander 4 and have a damn good fun time. And the same thing of some of those older Ultimas. I could go back. Hell, I kind of want to go back and play Ultima 4 again, actually. But moving on from my nostalgia, let's keep the stories going. Mortal Kombat X has announced some new characters in a recent trailer. They are Jacqueline Briggs, Takashi Takeda, and Kung Jin. And they are the descendants of Jax, Kenshi, and Kung Lao, respectively. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, the children slash descendants of some of the previous characters, especially since, I think according to the last Mortal Kombat game, those characters are all dead. Well, Kung Lao's died a couple times, actually, now that I think about it. But it's kind of cool to see some new characters, and I like the whole generational kind of thing. It's sometimes not done as well as you'd want it to be done, cough, cough, Soul Calibur, cough, cough. But I do kind of like seeing it just because it adds like a, you kind of know the character even though you don't know the character kind of thing. There's a familiarity to it.
Like, the thing is, like, I want these characters to have like the same kind of abilities that their ancestors had. So I want them to mix it up.
Yes. Well, the fact that
like,
Jax,
we do have Kung Lao in the game, but I want the other character not to play Kung Lao whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like, if I want to play Kung Lao, I'll pick Kung Lao. And Kung Lao is like my favorite character in the franchise. And how many times can I say that word? Can I say Kung Lao without twisting my tongue?
Kung Lao is a good character. He was never one of my best, but I know some people who are good with him. My thing is more about Jax's daughter, because I'm like, well, okay, so she's probably not going to be as ripped as her dad, and she probably isn't going to have robot arms. So I'm very much in the point.
Robot legs.
Yeah.
Watch, it's robot legs.
It could be something like that. But it just,
she has robot legs, she better be like quick as hell. She better some cabal bullshit, like run around and.
Oh, yeah, she better have the super speed cabal stuff if she's got robot legs. But
if she can do that shit, I'll be like, I'll be down 1,000%. Anyways, keep going.
I'd like to see her play like a kind of a middle ground between Sonya and Jax, since they're both part of the same special forces group, to have some of Sonya's agility, but just have some of like the brutal just beating stuff that Jax could do to people. If you could make kind of a combo of that, that'd be an awesome playstyle, in
I
my
think
opinion.
That character is actually designated for what's her face, Casey Cage.
Oh, that's possible too. Because yeah,
she has a lot of, she's gonna have a lot of the stuff for Johnny Cage and Sonya.
Yeah, but having characters that kind of play as a mix of two characters kind of works pretty well, in my opinion, if they do it right. And
yeah,
I generally have faith that NetherRealm isn't gonna screw this up.
And that's the thing. Like, I kind of don't like. I kind of disagree with you because I kind of want them to have their own way of playing because they mix up two characters. I would rather play those two characters than play that character, in my opinion.
But see, I'm basing this off of Mark of the Wolves and how much I loved Rock Howard being this mix of Geese and Terry. He came to be this really good character.
Anything, I don't consider, like, yeah, he has moves from, like, Geese and Terry, but I never really considered him to be, to be like that. I consider him to be his own person because he has his own kind of, like, moveset at times as well.
Yes,
so
he does.
Like he has his own take on it, so it's like exactly. So it's like there's enough there to distinguish him to be his own character, but if they just copy and paste from another character, then like,
well, I guess I'm trying to say this is I kind of want it to be a Rock Howard situation. You have parts of two different characters and a little bit of their own originality, but like something like Kenshi's kid or descendant order, since Kenshi is supposed to be, I think, several hundred years old or something.
Yeah.
That's one of those characters where I'm kind of like, well, Tenshi was the whole blind psychic samurai thing. You don't necessarily have to have a kid who plays exactly the same. In fact, if anything, I think that'd be really just kind of weird if he did. So I'm like, I kind of want to see him as his own kind of original take on the whole samurai thing and what you could do with that. So, yeah, it'd just be interesting to see how they're going to fight when, or how they're going to play when we can actually get our hands on this game. Moving on, I think it's time to kind of go to a little bit of sad news. I hate to have to do this, but sometimes we have to bring it up. For those who have not heard, and I can't believe there's any way you couldn't have, Leonard Nimoy dies at the age of 83, famous for narrating almost everything, and, of course, Star Trek. As Mr. Spock. And
the best Galvatron ever.
And the best Galvatron ever, yes. And in Star Trek Online, which I didn't realize people were still playing, but apparently they are having a permanent memorial for Leonard Nimoy in the game, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, to be honest, like, you know, the whole circumstances to his death and everything is kind of like, it kind of hit me kind of close to home because of a lot of it kind of is mirroring what's going on personally in my life, but other than that, you know, he lived a really long life. Like, he was more than just Star Trek to me. There were a lot of things that he did so great. Like I just mentioned earlier, he was Galvatron in Transformers.
The voice of civilization.
Yeah, and then he was he was actually Sentinel Prime in the Dark of the Moon movie, which is, you know, to give or take, that was actually one of the better movies in my opinion. And then, like, it's like, I joke.
Dark the Moon was so long and so boring.
I arguably
think it's worse than the second movie, just because of how long and boring it is.
But that's a discussion for Bizarro
File. It is, that's a Bizarro File thing. But just to play off that just for half a second, I said the saddest part about him going is the fact that the last two movies I saw with him are Star Trek II Into Darkness and Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon. And I was just like, come on, man. Couldn't your last movie have been like an Oscar nominee? That just make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I'm like, you know what? He did die, but his last movie was Oscar nominated and it was really good. Damn it.
Yeah.
His last
but
tweet was
good.
His last tweet, though, I think that tweet tells you that the guy knew his time was up.
He had a very nice way of saying goodbye.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I've learned from just being around grandparents and stuff, and hearing stories from other people talking about their grandparents, is that some grandparents seem to have this awareness that their time is up, and they try to do things. A friend of mine, his grandpa basically took him out. I think they went to Disneyland or something like that. They had like a big, fun like day filled of stuff. I want to say it was Disneyland. I might be wrong on that. Or maybe it was Knott's, but whatever. They went to a theme park, they had a really good time, and like the next day he died. It's like he knew he was going to die, and he decided to make his grandsons, like, the day before he dies, just spend with his grandson, and I thought that was kind of awesome.
And also, Leonard Nimoy volunteered to be people's honorary grandfather.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was pretty sweet of him. Yeah, he's like, I've got so many honorary grandchildren.
I wish I could have joined that group. Okay, so now I feel bummed that I couldn't have him be my honorary grandfather, but I'm still up for adoption, Miguel. So as soon as you want to become my dad, it'd really be awesome.
I want to cry now.
I was trying to add humor, but
I know, but like, it's more along the lines, like, the more I hear about the stuff, like, the more I hear about this kind of thing, it's like,
he was
an amazing man that did more than just Star Trek.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry that I want to, you know, break up this talk, but we need to really get back on focus.
Yeah, we should. Before we start being really emotional.
With the show.
He lived a good life. He-Man is a really amazing game. Because that's the only voice in that game. It's the only game voice I can remember. Like,
Civilization. He was the narrator in Civilization. Play Civilization,
C-Man.
People.
He gets to say C-Man.
Yes, he does. You can go off in your Ramsey's corner. I will continue the news.
Anyway.
Staying on the sad note, less famous, Atari engineer Steve Bristow has also died this week. He
Man with the greatest mutton chops of all time. I'm looking at a picture of him. Man, the guy has the greatest mutton chops ever.
He had some awesome facial hair, folks. He helped develop the Atari 2600. He was also instrumental in working on games like Breakout, Tanks, and Indy 800. So, you know, maybe not as well known as Nolan Bushnell or some of the other big names that came out of Atari, but definitely an instrumental person who helped us have the video games that we had now. I mean, today, you know, if not for the home systems like the Atari 2600, we wouldn't have our Xboxes. I mean, let's face it, that made, well, technically Nintendo helped actually revolution, but if not for the Atari, we wouldn't have had the Nintendo, we wouldn't have had et cetera, et cetera. So
the Atari was like, you know, there was once upon a time before the Atari. There was a time before a Nintendo where, like, literally the Atari was king.
Yeah.
It's just because how just to give context to newers who don't understand this, Atari was just as big as Nintendo is now.
Oh, maybe even bigger.
That's, yeah. And it's like, if it weren't for people like Kid, Nolan Bushnell, and all these other amazing people in the industry, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to see a lot of these people, you know, pass away. But looking at some of the accomplishments, he's got some of the biggest accomplishments in the world. He was the first guy to also create the very first multi-paddle version of Pong.
Oh, for two players.
Yeah.
Nice.
So he created stuff like that. So it's like he thought out of the box of a lot of things at a time where where everyone and their grandmother was releasing a Pong clone. He thought out of the box and made something else.
Yeah. And that's a sign of a genius inventor.
Exactly.
You know, and between losing him and, you know, we lost Ralph Baer, it's just sad losing some of these guys who helped innovate video games. I mean, it makes sense, you know, they're getting old. It's not a huge surprise. It's just, I don't know, it feels like here's the way to think about it, folks. In about 20 years or so, maybe more, we're going to eventually lose Shigeru Miyamoto, and that's going to be like the world's saddest day ever. So it's just one of those things to think about, that, you know, some of the people who helped make video games what they are today are eventually going to die, and, you know, we need to remember these people and the importance they had on the industry.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, I mean, going to Bizarro Falls talk, you know, Stan Lee is not the young buck he was 40 years ago either.
Yeah, it well, same thing with Mel Brooks, is also probably close in age to both Leonard Nimoy and Stan Lee. They're all around the same age at this point. So, again, another thing to think about, you know, we could lose Mel Brooks, you know, at any time. I mean, he's still going up and doing a stand-up and whatever. He recently had a stand-up special. He's still working on movies and products. Heck, he even made a joke about wanting to do a Starballs, Spaceballs 2, you know.
Hey, he has to make Spaceballs 2. Because it's already been, he said it in the movie. Maybe again in Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Yeah. And he seemed to have fun making the Spaceballs animated series, so who knows. And by the way, folks, if you ever got like a few hours to burn, go watch like the 6 episodes they did of the Spaceballs animated series. It was on Netflix last time I checked. Real, just stupid fun watch. The parodies, Jurassic Park, video games, Lord of the Rings. It's just fun and stupid. Oh, prequels. It rips on prequels. Actually, that may have been almost all the episodes, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But it was just a fun parody series using the Spaceball characters. They got pretty good sound-alikes. I know Mel Brooks does his voice for President Scroob, and I think Rick Moranis reprises his role as Dark Helmet. I'm not sure on that one. But I think everyone else is I mean, obviously for Barf, they had to get a replacement voice because John Candy is no longer with us. And I'm not sure if they got What's Her Face to come back as Dot Matrix. Because it would have been
Joan
made...
Rivers?
Yeah, Joan Rivers. Because it would have been made before
Anyways,
she died.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
files.
Check out Spaceballs, the animated series. I'll continue with the news. Let's go from the funniness of that. Let's go into other happy news stories before I have to get to some of the frustrating news stories. U.S., rejoice. The PlayStation 4 is going to get Dragon Quest Heroes. Yes, we are getting the Dragon Quest Musou-style action RPG game. I'm in. This is awesome. I love the Dragon Quest universe and all their adorable monsters drawn by Akira Toriyama.
As long as I get to play as a slime, I am totally fine with this.
Okay, you want to play as a slime? I want to play as a dragon.
Screw you, I want to play as a slime. Those slimes are adorable in that game.
I take it back. If I can play as one of those knights who rides on top of a slime, then I'm in.
Oh, Slime Knight, yeah!
They're a tag team. Team up technique.
Oh, yes, or if it's team up technique, that'd be fine too. Ramses, I'm gonna ride on your back. Let's kill stuff.
No, but it has been confirmed that like most of the heroes from like the first couple of games, the last couple of games, are playable in this game.
I'm fine. I like the governor from part 8.
So it's like for the, most of the characters from Dragon Quest like 8 and on. Plus, like I
well, you've had 8 and 9. That's about it.
So yeah, 7, 8, and then I don't think I haven't seen any from 6.
I hope that Erendrick actually is available as a playable character. That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if Erendrick would be available, because he is an important character in that universe.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to see the playlist of the characters, but I'm just kind of cool that we were getting this. It's you never know with the Dragon Quest games. Ramses and I were talking about that off air. You know, we have missed out on a couple of the games, and in the main franchise especially, because we didn't get 5 and 6 until they were remade for the DS, I think.
Yeah.
So we didn't get them until then. 7 was a really small release for the PS1. Good luck finding a copy of that. 8 was awesome, and 8 basically sold and got people into the franchise because it came with the Final Fantasy 12 demo. I'm not kidding. That's most of the copies were sold because people wanted to play Final Fantasy 12. Which
most of the games that they sell like that. But
yeah. So into the Enders got its sales because of Metal Gear Solid 2. So,
regardless, you know, you have Dragon Quest IX, which sold a crap ton in the United States.
Yeah, I think I have my copy here.
That had no demo whatsoever. It was purely because it was a good RPG for the.
It really was. It had it was a great DS game. I highly recommend. It's not too hard to find either. You get to do complete character customization for your team, and it has the system from 8, where dependent on how you can put points into different skills to develop different types of abilities for your characters. So it's actually pretty awesome. Plus, you can mix and match your character classes. So let's say you want to be a warrior until you get the strike that does the extra damage against the metal type characters, and then you want to become, you know, a mage so that you can have better spells, and then maybe you want to do something else. I like the mix and match. I like the customization. Yes, I highly recommend Dragon Quest IX to anyone looking to play a Dragon Quest game. Even though personally, I actually really like 6 a lot. 6 is one of my favorites in the franchise. So I'm kind of in that mindset where I'm like, 9 is really good and a good introduction to that world. 6 is amazing. 4 is fun, but switching between the different characters kind of makes the story a lot more difficult to follow, in my opinion. And then I really want to go back and play the original trilogy again, because I love 1, 2, and 3. That's part of my childhood. And if I did RPG Corner like I've been talking about on our Saturday streams, I'd probably begin with Dragon Quest 1. Yes, I love this franchise, people. And you should
so,
too.
Yeah, I can't wait for this game. I can't wait to see all the rest of the characters that's gonna be popping out in this game. Like I said, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to like theorize, because like that's the great thing about Musou games, like theorizing who's gonna be in it, and not just theorizing it, who's gonna be in it, but how they're gonna play and stuff like that. Like how we've been theorizing with like some of the stuff with Hyrule Warriors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to see this game. I'm surprised they're foregoing the PlayStation 3 release. Maybe they might do a PlayStation 3 release later on.
I feel like this is just a part of my excuse for getting a PS4. This is just really adding more and more points where it just kind of comes down to my bills deciding that they don't want to get paid so that I can buy a PS4. That's really where this is coming to.
Yeah, I'm starting to debate too, to like put in a layaway thing for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Because like, it's starting to get to that point. I'm seeing Metal Gear Solid 5, Arkham Knight, and all these other great.
You know, I'm still. I know you guys are going about that. I'm still not sold on buying a PlayStation. There's no big game that's calling out to me.
God.
Well, you know what? We can probably have a bigger discussion about system sales when we get our E3 announcements. So probably some point in June, we can do a big discussion of. Are we sold on the other systems? Because honestly, you know, Miguel, you have a Wii U, and after playing your Wii U, I kind of want, really kind of want a Wii U in my household right now. So
yeah, I fully,
you know,
it's one of those things where I'm tossing up between a Wii U and a PS4, and I'm like, every day I'm like, I want a PS4. No, I want a Wii U. I want a PS4.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens.
Yeah, so I think the discussion for that is better built around when we know what'll be coming out the remainder of this year and into 2016. So we'll just have to put that on that list of topics to talk about in the future. Continuing on with the news, keeping things happy, the FCC has announced that there is net neutrality, which means that the internet is just a public utility. So, yay, no policing of the internet. Thank you. Some people are not happy about this. I am. Freedom is awesome. Free market is always the best route. Thank you much.
So does this mean I can go? So does this mean I can go back and look at bestiality porn again?
No.
There are three animal lovers on this podcast. You are not allowed to do that. And we're not that kind of animal lovers.
Don't stand in the corner and think about your life choices.
No animal cruelty on this podcast, and no animal cruelty supported by anyone on this podcast. We are pet owners, damn it. We treat our pets like they're part of the family.
If you want me, I'll be in my lab.
Close, man, you're close. I can replace you with...
I can
replace you with clips of your voice from previous episodes. Don't make me.
Anyways.
I will replace you with clips of your own voice. Okay, moving on to cleaner subjects. Fable Legends will be free to play. It is the 4v1 multiplayer game designed kind of like Dungeon Keeper from ye olde times, for those who remember that game. Four players will enter the dungeon. One player will basically be setting up traps and sending out monsters to kill them. And they're going to go for a free-to-play model. They're trying to use, at least from how I understand it, they're using a system similar to the system from League of Legends and Dota 2 to make the money on the game. I never really got into the Fable universe. I played part one. I thought it was okay. I watched someone play a little bit of two. I don't really care about this game, but interesting to see that it's taking this direction. And at least this is the kind of multiplayer I can get behind. Just like that Friday the 13th game that I think is supposed to have that similar 4v1, you know, play style.
Yeah, they showed some of it at E3, and I'm like, you know, I thought, you know, it's interesting for that universe. I don't know. I'm not big into those types of like arena battle like games myself.
Yeah. Well, I like just the idea of playing as the dungeon keeper and trying to kill people with traps and stuff. That seems intriguing, but I just don't care. Like, honestly, it's Fables. It's not Fables. Fables is a good comic series, recommended. But the Fable franchise, I don't know. It never caught me for some reason. But hey, you know what? It's free to play, so if you're on a platform where it's available, check it out when it comes out. Let us know how it is. Moving on to movie news. The Tomb Raider movie reboot has finally gotten a writer. And hold your breath for this one, folks. It's going to be awesome. Evan Dwarty of the Ninja Turtles reboot, Snow White and the Huntsman, and Divergent is the writer of the Tomb Raider movie. So you know it's going to be awesome.
If I ask you, crap.
Yes, it is precisely what I mean. For those who care about the plot, I don't know why you do, but if you do, they're generally going with a younger Lara Croft going on her first adventure, taking a lot of cues from the Tomb Raider 2013 game reboot. So
now I have a question, and okay. This will be we'll just quickly. Mm-hmm. Is the person going to be younger looking Angelina Jolie, or are they going to completely recast the character?
They're probably going to completely recast the character. It'll probably be some popular. You know what? It'll be that chick from 50 Shades of Grey. They'll get her to do it.
She British?
Well, because she can't do a British accent. You know, that's not impossible.
Oh, even
Angelina
better.
Jolie isn't British. She did a British accent.
Yeah, true. But no, it's one of the things where it's like, you know, just to put more mountain into the crap that is this movie. It's like, here's this person trying to do a faux accent. It's like,
yeah. Well, no casting has been announced, just that they're fast-tracking this movie, because I guess they really want to get it out next year, so that's always a good sign.
I mean, they want to get that Skrilla.
Yes, they want to get the Skrilla.
They want to shill it out, get enough shills, shekels, or whatever.
Going old school, going Bible times. Let's refer to our money in terms of weight measurement. For those who don't know, a shekel is a unit of weight. It's not actually the name of the coins. It's literally a unit of weight. I want this much weight of silver. Speaking of trying to go for that crazy... God, I'm not going to be able to pull this off. Speaking of going for that crazy Skrilla and getting that money, dollar bill, y'all. Toe Jam and Earl, back in the groove, has its own Kickstarter. Yep, Toe Jam and Earl 3, designed to look like Toe Jam and Earl 1, but spiffy graphics. And it is frontlined by the co-creator of the game, Greg Johnson, which instantly makes me feel better about this project. But I was never that big of a Toe Jam and Earl fan, so I don't care that much. I like seeing an old Sega franchise getting some love.
I was wondering for a while if, like, who owned it. I was wondering if Sega owned it, or...
No, Sega does not own it. Sega does not own Toe Jam and Earl.
Interesting.
That's why he needs to have this Kickstarter. It's because Sega doesn't own the game, the license.
So I'm pretty sure that if Inafune still had the license for Mega Man and not Capcom, but it would have Mighty Number 9 would have been the new Mega Man game.
Probably.
Yeah.
Would have easily. But it's like, it just seems very interesting. It's like, I would assume that all that intellectual property would have belonged to.
Yeah, if you check the Kickstarter, it talks about it.
I'll check it out. I always saw, and the thing first thing that popped in my mind is like, how much money did these guys have to get out of Sega to do it? But then again, too, I'm pretty sure Sega was like, you guys want it back? Because we're not really using it at this point, you know?
Well, it's one of those things.
We're essentially bleeding money here. It's like, you might as well take it, you know?
If I was wealthy enough, or I ran my own game company, I would actually go up to Sega and ask them about a couple of their older franchises and be like, hey, how much money would it take for me to buy the rights to own Golden Axe and all its stuff? And then I would make brand new Golden Axe games, and it'd be awesome. Or how much does it take for me to buy Bare Knuckle off of you?
You know what this reminds me of?
Huh.
Some guy on Giant Bomb, Giant Bomb site, actually owns the rights Lock, Stock, and Barrel to The Condemned.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
So this guy just owns a Lock, Stock, and Barrel, and he's basically like, does anyone want to work on this game? Anyone, someone, I can give you a license, no problem.
I would work on a Condemned game if I owned a company. That was actually those were pretty intense games. And if you have the right team, you can make a really good, psychological/horror game.
So it's like for me it's in that same vein where it's like I don't know how I got it but I still own the rights. So
well, I thought Condemned was based off of pre-existing source material, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
I don't know.
I thought it had some sort of a novel or something.
Regardless, the Toe Jam and Earl, you know, and I'm really happy they're making this game. I might check it out. The thing is, I was never really a fan of the original games.
Yeah.
Because, the game was so weird.
I liked the weirdness. I just never knew what I was supposed to do. That was always my problem with those games. What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? So that was my issue.
But, I mean, not to say they're bad games. They're just, weird. They're just, kind of games. Just, like,
Me and my cousins played Toe Jam and Earl all the time. We love that game.
It's a great co-op game.
We gotta sit down and you gotta teach me how to play that game. Seriously.
I just remember my brother and I rented it once, and I remember us kind of trying to figure out what we were supposed to do. So we were just running around being stupid in that game. But
you're gonna come a day, and you're just
trying to get to the next stage.
Yeah, it's all about trying to ascend to the next stage without falling off the islands. If you actually want to see on Cinemassacre.com, for James and Mike Mondays, God, it must have been about a year ago, maybe more than that, they did a Toe Jam and Earl playthrough of the first, I don't remember how many floors they made it, but they made it decently far into the game.
There's actually a floor zero.
Oh, is there really?
Yes, it's actually, you had to use the killing gene.
Okay, I'll check it out.
You had to use the game genie to get to it, but basically the code allowed you to go and swim in the water because in the old game you could swim in the water, but eventually you would drown if you stayed in there too long.
Yeah.
The code allowed it so you could have infinite breath so you wouldn't drown. So eventually you swam so far out and you found the edge and then you fell off and you landed in level zero and you couldn't escape level zero. And it was literally a little island with a hula girl there, and then you would just, yeah, it's just a little bitty island in a giant ocean on level zero.
I think that was,
like, judging from what your description, that seems like a test level.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's probably a test level.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you're going to have to guide us through eventually when we start playing this game. I posted the link on our chat of the Mike and the Mike and James and Mike Monday of Tool Germinal if anybody's interested in.
Okay.
But yeah, I really want to see what's going on. I really want to check out how this game's going to turn out. I'm excited, but I'm also kind of want to see like what's going to happen with this game. And I'm wondering who owns stuff. Who owns like really esoteric stuff? Like who the hell owns Acro the Acrobat?
No idea, but that's a discussion for we can do. Who owns a license to what hunting another time. Let's wrap up the news. I got two more stories, and we've been going on for a while, so actually we're getting close to our end of our episode anyways. Speaking of Kickstarters, this is something that we're very proud to announce. Vidar has reached its goal. Now, I'm not saying that's all because of how awesome we are, but I mean, it's totally because of how awesome we are. So that's 100% us.
One of the many 100%, reasons.
100% us in our live stream. 100% us.
Yeah.
Taking all credit for that.
100% us doing the last minute, at the last minute push, telling, hey, there's only a few dollars left to get the goal. Donate now, and boom.
Yeah. I'm very glad.
He did the last 2 days, and then within those last 2 days, he got also, like, he was able to get through one of his stretch goals.
Yeah. It really.
So that's good on him.
We're very happy for Dean. If you have not checked out Vidar, and God knows why you haven't, the Alpha 2 build, I think, is on the Vidar website. Go check it out. Give it a play. Or watch Miguel play through it.
If you guys don't want to play it, and just want to watch someone play it, you can watch it on our YouTube channel.
Yep.
Watch as I play it, as Dean comments on, you know, the aspects of the game and how they developed it.
Yeah. It's a really great, cool throwback game with a really awesome concept and design, and really, really recommending this one. This is one of those things I found at Boston Fig, and I'm so glad I stumbled across it, because it's been one of the coolest, along with Bacon Man, easily one of the coolest things I've stumbled across in the last few months.
I posted a link also of that playthrough on our chat.
Thank you much. So there's things for our people who are watching us live at our not usual time, who can stumble across those.
Yes.
The last news story I have is kind of awesome in a very perverted sort of way. Dead or Alive 5 Last Round is getting DLC costumes from Senran Kagura. For those who don't know, Senran Kagura is basically buxom ninjas, buxom hot ninja girls, basically wail on each other until their clothing falls off, and it's a game. And there's a lot of sequels to this franchise. Part of the DLC will also include destructible clothing, which has been part of the Senran Kagura games. I don't know if this will go back for other costumes or just the Senran Kagura costumes, but yeah, congratulations, perbs.
This is part of the course with Dead or Alive.
It's surprising they haven't had destructible clothing previously in Dead or Alive. But yes, yay. For those of us who love a game that has really, really, really good fighting, really great fighting system, but also super hot women, we now get an even more perverted way to play it. So yay for us. Also noted,
fighting games had destructible clothing armor in it. Fighting Vipers had it years ago.
Oh, Fighting Vipers did, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember, because I used to play in the arcade, and I remember at some point you'd play and your armor got broken.
And also, one of the Dragon Ball Z games actually had it that if you blasted someone with a powerful enough Kamehameha or whatever, their clothing would get like partially burned off like in the show. I kind of dug that too. I like that destructible clothing kind of stuff. It's just a cool thing.
All I'm thinking of is Fatal is Art of Fighting, where it's like you're fighting King and then all of a sudden you do like special attack and like you real, oh my god, King's a woman all this time.
Well, yeah, it's a finishing strike. If you're finishing strike on King, and they kept that in King of Fighters as well. If you're finishing strike on her as a special attack, her shirt opens up and you reveal that she's a girl.
Yeah. Good times.
But also of note, one of the game-breaking bugs on the PC version has been fixed, according to Tecmo.
Not just the PC version. Every version of next gen.
Have all been fixed? Or they all have...
No, yeah. They're far from it.
Yes.
But yeah, that's one of the many
things. One of the bugs is fixed. One of the bugs is fixed, according to Tecmo's Twitter account.
Like, literally, there's, like, one match where you can't play two. So you can't have two characters play at once. I think you can't play Hayate, and I don't remember the other character, because if not, the game will literally break.
So yeah, last round has a lot of bugs, which makes no sense to me, because they had the original and they've had Ultimate. This is the third version of the same game. They should not be having these kinds of bug problems.
From what I can recall, it's pretty much like at this point trying to put a square peg in a round shape at this point.
Yeah.
That's the issue I've been hearing, because it's like basically the PS2 and Xbox 360 versions are not the same thing. Surprisingly enough, are not can't work on PS4 and Xbox One and PC. Literally, it's like they're looking at this like, I'm imagining that scene from Zoolander where Zoolander and what's his face are just looking at it and just tossing the computer around. Because they're like, what is going on? Why is this not working?
So, yeah, that's the most unfortunate part, because for me, I was excited. Like, you know what? When I get a PS4, I'll go and grab a copy of Last Round of super high definition, really sexy women, plus really awesome fighting. I'm so in. And some of the DLC is making me go, like, okay, and kind of want some of that new DLC. And then it's just like, yeah, by the way, it's bugged to hell. And I'm like, damn it. And the funny part is they have Last Round on sale with one of the DLC packs, a swimsuit pack or something like that. And I'm like, well, I'd grab that, but I'd rather get it on PS4 where the graphics will be slightly better. And now I'm like, is it even worth worrying about it on PS4? Or should I just grab the PS3 version and enjoy it on there? But who cares? I'm playing JoJo, so that's my fighting game right now. I'll wait for some other major discount version of it, and then maybe I'll buy it. But and plus, I have DOA 5 already on my Xbox, so buying the same game twice is not usually on my list of things to do, unless it's called Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which I have bought twice. So, but yeah, that's primarily my news. Ramses, with what little show we have left, I know there's something you actually really wanted to talk about.
You know, I found something else. I think we could end the show with this bit of news instead of the other news. We can leave that one until another time.
Yeah.
Valve has already announced that they're working on a VR system with HTC.
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't know. All this VR stuff seems great, but I need it to be affordable and be something that seems worthwhile.
Well, they're going to talk a lot about that this coming Tuesday at GDC. So we're gonna hear a lot about their hardware stuff coming up really soon, as a matter of fact. So maybe next show there might be a lot more we're gonna talk about with the Valve, with SteamOS, the Steam boxes, and this new VR stuff they're working on. So I'm excited to see what they can do, because like for a while they were really advocating the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
But then after they got brought out by Facebook, they're like, by the way, we've been working on this secretly just in case. So, like, you know, screw you there, Facebook VR. We got our own thing going on. So let's see what happens from here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to remind everybody, does anybody not remember the Virtual Boy and the constant headaches people got because of it?
Well, the good news is technology has moved ahead since the late 90s.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about the red and black, you know, blinding us.
Well, yeah, I know the red and black won't be there anymore, but
However, Miguel, you're not too far off.
Staring at a screen is still gonna give you headaches, even if when your eyes are enclosed like that.
Well, no, okay. You're not too far off, actually. I've heard from people that say after they use the Oculus, when they take it off, it takes them a little while to adjust back to real life, because it, like, how it messes with your eyes and with your head, there's actually an adjustment period between both.
I remember there's this video online, you can look at it. This guy's using an Oculus Rift. The demo is just this guy on a roller coaster. And what this guy does is, like, when they hit, you know how, like, roller coaster, and they hit, like, the top, like, plateau of the roller coaster right before the fall?
Mm-hmm.
The guy just literally pushes the guy as he's on the plateau, and it's going down, and it's like...
Nice.
He's happy at the moment.
That is amazing. The good news is, if this VR technology goes to a higher level, we can finally have real-life versions of VR Troopers.
Yep.
And that's really the most important part of VR technology, just so I can become a superhero in real life. That show made no sense.
Oh, but for me, it's like, I've been interested in 3D technology, well, this 3D technology, and I'm also interested in anything that that Valve comes out, because, like, usually it means that it's going to be very open source, and it's going to be a lot of cool things going on, so it's like, let's see what happens. They're going to announce everything on Tuesday, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, I will admit, seeing technology move forward is always kind of cool. I don't know how viable this technology will be, but, you know, like you said, I mean, we can just kind of sit and watch. And it is Valve, so at least they kind of know what they're doing as opposed to a lot of other companies. Valve is smart. That's, if anything you can say about Valve, they're slow, but they're smart.
Still waiting on that. As a matter of fact, people are theorizing, are they going to talk about Half-Life 3 because it's on the third day of the third hour? I'm like,
oh, they've totally forgotten that they have that franchise. They're going to sit there and go like, who, everyone knows what we're going to talk about? Dota 3. And everyone's like, woo, wait, what?
What's yep. 3?
Team Fortress 3. I'm like, yes.
I would shit my pants if they did that. I'd be like,
I would love me some Team Fortress 3 too, actually.
I don't care if you don't even choose no new classes. It's like, wow, 3.
Yeah.
Hell, if you just reskin Team Fortress 2 to Team Fortress 3, I'll still be happy.
3 is a downloadable reskin that just makes everything high definition. Yes, cel shaded high definition.
Anyways.
So, yeah, some crazy stuff coming up. We definitely have a lot of things we need to get into next week. But, you know, it's just nice having a news week where we can actually discuss things and be, you know, more productive about the news versus last week of like our 4 stories.
I think also it helps that we have good old Miguel back with us.
True.
And without Miguel, he wouldn't anchor us and guide our tips into a victory.
Oh, come on, you guys. You guys are flattering me too much.
No, literally, we didn't know what to do with you. We were like the cavemen in front of the monolith.
Yeah, we were kind of confused. We were just like, let's just hope for the best.
Anyways, any closing thoughts from anybody?
You know, no, I have nothing.
I'm just gonna say that, you know, the other thing I was gonna talk about, we can wait till next week. And that other thing was, like, you know, thank God we're getting to this point where technology is starting to get to, like, you know, we're starting to advance more and more into technology, and now it's starting from a lot more of a noticeable thing. I'm very hopeful for the future, and like, hopefully next week we'll have a lot more discussion as to what's been going on with those kinds of things. And boy, playing as Frog looks awesome.
All right, well, you can always find lots more Scarlet Rhapsody things on scarlet-rhapsody.com. New articles come out every week, plus a bunch of other podcasts and our convention reports. In addition to that, you can find Secret Stage on Facebook at Secret Stage Games. You can find us on YouTube, Secret Stage Games. You can find us at Twitter at SR_Secret Stage. And of course, if you're not watching us on our live streams, what's wrong with you? Watch us on our live streams. They're awesome. It is Secret Stage.
On Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv/Secret Stage if you need the actual thing. We are awesome. We are on every week. Check us out. So until next time, I'm Jared for Ramses, Miguel, and background Becky saying game over and winners don't use drugs.